Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our Hideaway studio in East County. And today, my very special guest is Charlene McAdory. She is one of seven candidates running for two seats, open seats, on the Lemon Grove City Council. Charlene, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Miriam, for having me today.
Now, I'd like to mention, listeners, that we did extend an invitation to all of the Lemon Grove Council candidates, and Charlene's the first one that said yes. So, Charlene, can you start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and your qualifications for the job?
Thank you, Marianne, for having me here today. I'm a candidate for Lemon Grove City Council, and I have a background in a little bit of redevelopment, having worked for Center City Development Corporation, now Civic San Diego. I have a master's degree in organization management, minor in HR.
That can certainly come in handy on any council that deals with complex issues and budgets.
I have a bachelor's degree in business administration. And I'm currently a PhD candidate at Nova Southeastern University studying conflict analysis and resolution.
Now, I see that you've also done some other interesting things. You've served on the, back in Minneapolis, on a civil rights commission there. You're the current president of Thrive Lemon Grove, and you've served on a citizens review board on police misconduct. We're going to get back to that one in a minute. But tell us about Thrive Lemon Grove, what that's all about, and what you're doing there for the community.
Thank you. Thrive Lemon Grove started through the initiative of current city council member Raquel Vasquez, Joyce Moore, and Scott Robinson. In 2013, and after submitting an application to the San Diego Civic Foundation Great Neighborhood Challenge Program, Thrive was formed out of a grant received from the San Diego Civic Foundation. In 2015, the leaders of the team felt that Thrive needed a new vision and or new leadership. And having attended several of the meetings, they asked me if I would be interested in taking on the leadership as president. And I jumped right at it and I said yes. So Thrive was formed to focus on maintaining public safety for Lemon Grove residents, helping the city to be a watchful eye on public safety initiatives. Most recently, Thrive held a program on human trafficking, which is very prevalent, not only in Lemon Grove, but as well as the city of San Diego as well.
Yeah, so very serious problem.
We've done a number of initiatives that we've been able to continue to keep the community informed of what's happening in the city of Lemon Grove.
Okay, very good. And I see that on your website here, you're listing three priorities for Lemon Grove. The first is cleaning up city fairways and thoroughfares. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Oh, absolutely. When I moved to Lemon Grove early 2014, I noticed that the Broadway running east and west seemed to be, some pockets of it seemed to be well maintained, while other pockets of Broadway seemed to be full of litter. And I thought that if I ever got the opportunity to form a group of citizens together to help clean up Broadway, that would be one of my greatest initiatives to do. And I'm not sure why a section of Broadway is well maintained and the other section of Broadway is not well maintained, but I think that as citizens who or residents who live here in Lemon Grove, I think that there should be initiative for them to want to have a beautiful city, not just parts of it, but all of it to be beautiful.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. Your second goal is to promote economic development and implement empowerment zones for new business ventures. Can you elaborate on what that's all about?
Oh, absolutely. Broadway has the opportunity for future business development. But what I, as I have been walking around during my campaign and listening to various store owners talk about not being able to stay in business, that is due to the high rental rate on some of the properties, which is not bringing businesses in, but driving business out because of their inability to drive more people to their storefront. One reason is because of parking. Parking has a big issue to not draw traffic into a business. And when there is little traffic, and if the storefront property does not appear appealing, then that's going to drive customers away from, as opposed to bringing customers in. So with, if we could find a way to bring all of the business owners together, and let them listen to what potential business owners are looking to do, as well as those business owners who currently have storefronts, if the property owners would just listen to them, I think that there would be a great opportunity for more businesses to be a part of Lemon Grove.
So this would really be the city being a facilitator more than anything else to bring together the business owners? And
the city can only do so much. With business owners coming together, if the city would bring about a community forum, inviting the business owners to come together and listen to current business owners, I think that they would find that the business owners are only asking that the building owners reduce the lease amount so that make it affordable for any business who wants to come in and do business here.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And your third a goal, if you're elected, is to bridge the gap between communities and city council. How would you go about doing that?
Wow. I've had the pleasure of attending city council meetings before, and I noticed that there's not a lot of people that attend city council meetings, mm-hmm. and there has to be a reason for that.
Yeah.
As a resident or as residents who live in the city of which we all live, work, and play, I would think that the city, that the residents would be interested in attending city council meetings in order to learn what opportunities the city of Lemon Grove has to offer. When there is an absence of residents attending city council meetings, residents have no clue in terms of what's going on with the city, what improvements can be made in terms of like roads and streets and sidewalks. Mm-hmm. If there is a lack of attendance, then the residents don't know what's going on. So my initiative, if I were to get elected, would be to find a bridging point where the city council could possibly hold a city council meeting at another location, or find incentives for the residents to want to come to city council meetings.
Okay, very good. Couple of questions. The current city council, due to budget cuts, eliminated both the planning commission and the recreation department. Do you agree or disagree with those decisions? And do you foresee any need, or, and if so, any way to bring either of those back?
Yes, I do. It's my understanding that prior to residing in Lemon Grove, that the City Planning Commission was implemented to, again, to be a watchful eye for the city council members. By closing the planning commission, a lot of the responsibility now falls back upon the city council members to try to help fix problems. The planning commission, in my opinion, should be reestablished in order to help the city to research projects that the city could take up on, and whereas the city does not have the resources, staff resources to do certain types of research, but that a planning commission would be able to do. In terms of the parks and recreation, I've had a chance to talk with a number of families who have stated that the children who live in Lemon Grove do not have any means of outdoor recreational activities. So by closing the parks and recreation, or not having enough parks and recreation activities for our children to do, that means that our children are staying at home playing video games and, you know, not continuing to educate themselves in order to stay fit, in order to use physical fitness as a means of staying healthy.
Yeah, there you go. Obviously, it's wonderful to talk about bringing all these things back, but that would take revenues. Do you have any ideas for increasing revenues for the city of Lemon Grove?
I do. I would, I say that if we could get a group of businesses to put in a pot of money or increase the tax revenue, that would help to draw in a pool of money for parks and recreations. I think, again, It takes a little bit of research to figure out, to do an assessment, to figure out what needs to happen. I don't have all the answers. I don't profess to know everything. However, I would, if I did get into office, I would set aside an ad hoc team to review what other type of initiatives that we could do that would invite the businesses to get involved in raising funds for parks and recreation.
Lemon Grove contracts out with the sheriff for its law enforcement, and currently there are only two sheriff officers at any one time patrolling the entire city of Lemon Grove. Do you think that's enough, and why or why not?
Oh, absolutely not. That's not enough force on the street. Even though Lemon Grove is a small city population of less than 30,000, having only two officers on the street is not enough. I think that while the city does use help from the other neighboring cities, Lemon Grove still needs its own law enforcement in order to continue to protect and serve the community.
Okay. You have served on a Citizens Review on Police Misconduct Board as a former board of director. Where was that?
The city of Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Where I'm from, yes.
I have to ask you, given that we're taping this right after all of the controversies out in El Cajon over an officer-involved shooting of a man who was apparently going through some sort of mental health breakdown, according to his family, a black man shot by a Latino officer. But I have to ask, have you seen the video, and what is your take on what happened out there? I guess you have an opinion on whether what occurred was justified or perhaps could have been prevented. Given your experience on a police oversight board, what's your take on it?
I think as a general public, we should be mindful to not be so quick to jump to a conclusion or an analysis about what happened unless we were there to witness the situation firsthand. I'm glad that I was not there to witness the incident firsthand. However, I would say that as a general public, we need to be mindful that we cannot judge what happened based on just a review of looking at a video footage without actually having been on the scene and present and watching what happened. I would say that the situation is very sad. I feel that the officers could have done something different as opposed to take a life, but they should have done something to save a life. According to the call-in, the gentleman was not armed, but he was possibly having a mental breakdown. And given that someone's having a mental breakdown, is it necessary to go to the scene and try not to defuse the situation, or was it necessary to go to the scene with the mindset that this gentleman is going to be killed today? So I think that officers who are trained, they have the mental capacity to know what's going to happen. However, I just strongly feel that they should try and to defuse the situation using as many types of tactic protocols as they can.
Yeah,
that's available to them.
Yeah, we don't know everything that happened, but what the video shows is a police car arriving and one officer with a taser keeping a distance, another officer with gun, drawing the gun and approaching Mr. Alongo, the victim, who was backing up and kind of wandering and backing away. And at one point, Mr. Alongo pulled out a vaping pen, a smoking device, but assumed a shooter stance and, you know, the silver barrel of it with the black handle. The officer has said he mistook it for a gun. It certainly, I could see where that could happen.
I agree.
I guess the question isn't so much what happened after this device was pulled out and the officer thought there was the gun, but what you're saying is the real issue is what happened before that.
Right.
Could they have done more maybe to prevent this person from, who was going through a mental crisis, from feeling threatened and reacting perhaps an inappropriate manner?
I do. I feel that given that the person who called in stated that the gentleman was going through a mental crisis, that he was walking, pacing back and forth, that should have given the officers a clue that
he's not going to respond rationally.
Exactly. But that should have given them a clue to call in some other type of help, such as PERT.
The city has said that the only PERT team they had was dispatched on another call at the time, and it did take 50 minutes for the officers to respond. So I guess my question would be, given your expertise of having looked at other officer-involved shootings on this commission, what's the takeaway here, not only for El Cajon, but other local cities? What do you think that all of them should be doing right now to prevent something like this or minimize the chances of something like this happening the next time they get a call about a person who's going through a mental health crisis, whether they're a minority or not?
I think that all departments now, because there has been so many shootings across the country, I think that all of the departments now need to really take a look at what their policies and procedures are in terms of how to deal with a mental crisis situation and not go into it with the mindset that someone will be killed today, but more so with the mindset that how can we save this person's life? I understand that they are trained officers, and I can't really say that that's what they should do. But I feel that given the fact that there has been so many of these types of killing across the country, that departments should now begin to look at ways of changing its policies and procedures in terms of how they approach a situation like that.
Before this happened, the San Diego County Grand Jury had recommended that all of the local cities in San Diego County should set up a citizens oversight, you know, review board for their police departments. Lemon Grove contracts out to the sheriff, but do they have a citizens oversight review board, or would that be under the jurisdiction of the county since it's sheriff? How does that work?
Lemon Grove does not have a citizens review board.
Should they?
Well, I think that it's very possible to have a citizens review board. It's very possible that they could tailgate with other cities that currently have existing citizen review boards, like the city of San Diego. Given that Lemon Grove is still in the county mm-hmm. of San Diego, the citizens review board should also have the opportunity to, Lemon Grove should be able to have the citizens review board look at types of cases that occur within the Lemon Grove as well.
Okay, so piggybacking on the sheriff's oversight board and maybe getting a Lemon Grove
yes.
member on there.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I want to give you the opportunity to tell us about anything else that you would like our listeners to know about yourself or your candidacy or the issues that you think should be addressed in Lemon Grove that we haven't already asked you about, Charlene.
Well, thank you, Marion. I would have to say that I would not be in this position to have the opportunity to run for Lemon Grove City Council if it weren't for the two current City Council members who are now running for mayor. So I applaud them, and I appreciate them giving up their City Council seats to allow two additional members, new members, to come in.
And that's Councilman George Gastel and Councilwoman Raquel Vasquez.
Yes, that is correct. As I stated earlier in my opening remarks, is that I would not have been given this opportunity when I moved to Lemon Grove, I saw that there was an opportunity for new ideas and improvements. And I said to myself that if the opportunity ever came about, that I would not just talk about things that need to happen, but be in a position to make a voice for the residents of Lemon Grove as well as the businesses. So the opportunity has now presented itself for me to do that. So as a newcomer to and a resident to Lemon Grove, I would like the residents to know that I will never make a promise to do something. However, I will make a promise to try to propose new initiatives to help bring about new changes for the city of Lemon Grove. For example, our children do need a place to a parks and recreation center where they have the opportunity to take upon different types of physical activities after school. I do also feel that our streets need to be improved. There are certain streets in the city of Lemon Grove that are well-maintained, and there are streets in Lemon Grove that are just gravel. And you have residents who are complaining that their street has been promised to be paved and it never has happened. Again, I don't profess to know everything, but I would like the opportunity to align myself with those who have the information to help reshape and grow Lemon Grove from Lemon Grove the good to Lemon Grove the better. my priorities for Lemon Grove, should you elect me as a city council member, would be to, one, listen to what the needs are of the citizens. Try to implement new change through aligning myself with professionals in the industry that have the information to help Lemon Grove grow. I would also like to see more businesses come to Lemon Grove, other than seeing we have a number of nail salons in Lemon Grove, but I feel that there needs to be other types of businesses in Lemon Grove where residents can spend their money here as opposed to going outside of Lemon Grove and spending their money. We need more restaurants.
Yeah.
We need a lot more.
I hear that a lot.
A lot more restaurants. And I believe that we have the vacant partial in order for that to happen. We just need to know what the vision is for Lemon Grove.
Okay. Well, we're out of time, but I really want to thank you for being here today. And listeners, if you just tuned in, we have been speaking with Charlene McAdory. She is a small business consultant and a candidate running for the Lemon Grove City Council seat. Charlene, yes. Thank you very much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you for having me.